With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Stevenson and today I'm talking to Caroline Ward from Riding for the Disabled Association. After speaking to Matthew a couple of weeks ago, who's the RDA Volunteer of the Year, I'm just so keen to find out more about the RDA and really go into detail about what they do, what they offer and how we can get involved. You might have a little bit of extra time that you'd like to volunteer or you might have some skills that you can offer. So Caroline's going to give us all the inside information. This is Horse Hour. How are you, Caroline?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you very much for having me on today.
We're going to call it the RDA because it's so much easier and quicker, isn't it? And that's what we know you as. If we look on any social media or on Facebook, it's your Twitter handle is actually RDA National, isn't it?
That's right. We're the national office, if you like, which sort of umbrella organisation that looks after about 500 RDA groups all over the UK. And they are all their own individual charities, all set up, though, for the one purpose of getting disabled people involved in all sorts of riding activities. And they're looked after and supported by the national organisation, which I'm lucky enough to work for.
Well, that's interesting that they're individual charities. So each local RDA, then, do they have to raise their own money and they have their own budgets, things like that?
Absolutely, yes. It was it's a process that was called federating, and it happened some years ago when everybody became their own individual charity. So they fundraise for themselves. They do get support from us. We help out with grants, and we help to try and sort of grease the wheels for funding for our groups as much as we possibly can. But it's a challenge for them every day of the week in terms of fundraising, getting enough volunteers to help support their services, because that's the other part of RDA's sort of core background is our amazing volunteers. There are about 19,000 of them, and without them our activities just couldn't run, so we owe them a huge debt of gratitude.
We had the pleasure of speaking to Matthew, who is your young volunteer of the year, which is
he's just
so incredible. But I found it interesting that you don't have to be part of the RDA to be a volunteer, so you don't have to have a disability, you don't even have to ride, you can just go along and help out.
Absolutely. We encourage people to come along with any skills that they feel they have that we might need. So obviously we do work with horses and ponies, so if people are interested, and obviously your audience are I'm sure big knowledge gatherers in terms of horses and know an awful lot, but there are so many jobs that need doing that we don't need horse skills for. We might need a treasurer to look after a group's bank account. We might need somebody who's good at PR and communications to help raise awareness of that group in their local community. We need fundraisers. There are all sorts of skills that people can bring and do bring to make groups their own. They're all like little families, really, RDA groups, and they've got lots of different people all doing lots of different things. So it's a real melting pot of ideas and experience.
I think at some point the RDA has touched most of us. I know that I personally, the local riding school, it's a lovely little riding school, and they are an RDA associated riding school too. And I remember watching this little boy that was autistic. He was 6 years old and he couldn't talk to anybody. He really, really struggled with his communication. He was a foster child as well, and his foster parents had tried everything with him, and they were just really, really struggling to get him to come out, communicate. And so they took him down to the riding school, and I watched this little boy grow and literally come out of himself. And the time that he would come out of himself was on the horses. And it was amazing to be able to witness something like that. And he would chat to all the people on the yard, and he had his own horse there, which, you know, he felt was his, that he loved and he connected with. And to watch him come out of himself, I had a chat with the foster parents and said, you know, how do you feel? How is it for you? And they said, it's just incredible, and to be able to see him develop through horses. Yes.
Oh, well, it's really lovely to hear that story. And I mean, it is, you know, it's, we always say, if we could just get people to come and see, you know, what we do. And luckily, you know, as you say, lots of people do have a connection with us as an organisation. But if you've never seen it, sometimes it's difficult to describe those moments where you watch somebody who may struggle with a particular area of their life just grow, as you say, or find a way of expressing themselves in a way that they can't in their day-to-day life. Or also be taken seriously with a skill that they have that they want to develop. And we're, you know, we're really keen on that side of things, the providing an environment for people to reach really significant goals with their riding, as well as delivering the therapeutic elements, which we all know are so important, whether that's, as you say, helping somebody with their communication or concentration or balance, but also somebody who perhaps has a physical disability, helping them with that physio type of therapy that they perhaps find it painful to get elsewhere.
And what's so lovely is you support the family. It's not just about the riding, it's also about the family, the support. How do you help them?
Well, one of the, I mean, well, it's always easy to draw on sort of personal experience here, but a friend of mine, for example, whose daughter rides with us, she says, firstly, as you say, that it is like a family. And she also says it's the only place where she's never made to feel embarrassed about her daughter's behaviour. And I think it really hit home for me, that sense that if you do live with somebody with a disability, the way that the world looks on you and your family is often really very negative indeed, and that has a huge impact on a family's life, whether that's siblings or parents, or and you know, if you could wave your magic wand, you'd stop that ever happening to anybody, because it must be horrible. But I feel very proud for the fact that I might be able to work for an organisation where we provide an environment where that kind of attitude just doesn't exist. And you know, we love the families that come to us, and we want them to enjoy their family members' experience with us. So it's incredibly important that everybody feels included. And also, because the more that family members understand the beneficial impact of what their son or daughter perhaps is getting from us, they can extend that benefit when they're back home. And quite often we find parents will say, oh, I saw them doing something in riding, so now I give them a bit more freedom to do X, Y, and Z at home, because I now know that they can do it. And so I think there's quite an amount of sort of confidence building on all sides about what people can achieve through their work with horses.
How did the RDA start originally? Who set it up?
Well, it actually was a good idea that spread, really. I think from the sort of 1950s, little pockets of interest and groups were setting up gradually, until by the mid-60s, I think there were over 20 groups around the UK offering riding to disabled people. Now, some of that set up helping children with polio. Some people were inspired by a Danish rider, actually, called Liz Hartel, who competed and won the Olympics. And she had no feeling control in her lower legs. And people felt inspired to sort of see on a national stage what somebody who was disabled could achieve. It wasn't until 1969 it sort of all came together as a single group of people who said, hang on a minute, if we all pull together, we could really get something going here. So
yes.
So from the early 70s, it became more sort of coordinated, if you like, and there was a council set up to actually promote the idea of riding and carriage driving as well for disabled people. And, you know, like all good ideas, it's spread from there, as I say, until, you know, we've got around 500 groups now.
Did you feel that there was a bit of a negative impact when you first started because of the fear, I guess, of people getting hurt?
Well, I think it was, I think the wonderful thing about that era was, in terms of certainly the people doing it, they, you know, it sounds funny now, but they sort of perhaps worried less about that side of things. I think the attitude was really just overcoming people's general view, which unfortunately can still exist today, of just people can't do this. Disabled people can't ride. You know, why would somebody who hasn't got any legs can't ride, or somebody who can't talk can't get anything out of this experience? I think it was more the sort of the attitudinal issue of, this is just not something that disabled people can do. And I think that the sort of enduring spirit of the people who started doing RDA all those years ago was really just to say, look, this is an activity that I love, that I'm really passionate about, that I believe more people can enjoy, and disabled people can enjoy riding, and we want to open our door to help those people get involved and to do their best. And, you know, I always feel inspired by those kind of early pioneers who opened that door and said, just come on in and enjoy it. And I think that, you know, the more that spirit endures today, the better.
Well, you never say the word can't, can you? It's like, how can I do it? Let's find a way to do it. And that's what you've proven time and time again, is that it's so beneficial.
We do have a phrase, it's what you can do that counts. And I think it is often easy to say these things, but you know, the examples, you know, I have seen myself, or you know, read about and hear about throughout the organisation, of you know, people coming to their local RDA group and really sometimes just believing there's nothing that, you know, I know there's nothing you can really do to help, but, you know, is there any way I could just, you know, have a go or get on a horse? And you'll always start at RDA with someone going, okay, let's see what we can do. You know, Natasha Baker, who has just helped us to Team Gold Paralympics, tells a story of being inspired to, when she was watching the Paralympics, saying, right, I want to get a medal, and starting riding and saying to her coach, right, I want a gold medal, and then going, right, well, let's get cracking then. You know, nobody says, oh, well, you know, maybe it's a bit difficult, but we'll see what we can do, or, you know, brushes it under the carpet. It's like, well, okay, we'll put in the work and we'll get there. And that attitude is not just for people who can reach the very top of the organisation, because those goals might be anything from, you know, standing on a podium to straight on a horse, or communicating, or any number of things that we might take for granted, but are actually massive goals for some people.
The equestrian industry is seen as quite an expensive industry, and it can be expensive at times. Most of us, we know we're poor because we spend all our money on our horses. We'd rather get a new rug than have beans on toast for a week.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But it doesn't cost that much, does it, for you? Because when you think about having lessons every week and you think, oh, mm-hmm. gosh, it's going to cost a fortune, but it doesn't cost mm-hmm. that much to go to RDA, does it?
We try, all of our groups, as I say, they're all their own individual charities, and that also means they can control how much they ask in the way of support. And so it varies hugely. I know they always try to be below a commercial rate. They're very much motivated by wanting people to join, and quite often if there is a financial challenge, will try and work around that if they can. So it's a very mixed bag across the UK, but I would certainly urge anyone who's interested in coming to us to not assume that that is going to be a barrier, because you know, that would be a real shame if that was the reason, you know, people couldn't come. Having said that, it's really important for our groups to know that they can charge people for their services, because, you know, they are delivering a really high class service that is worthy of you know, some kind of financial support. Yes. and they do an amazing job.
A friend of mine asked me the other day, actually. She is a child therapist, not a child psychologist, but, you know, that she works specifically with autistic children, mm-hmm. and ADHD and things like that. And she said, I'm not very horsey, but I would love to offer my services. So is that something that she could do? Could she phone you and say, okay, well, I'm not in the horsey sector, but I'd like to offer support there somehow?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We actively encourage people who've got skills in a range of therapy areas to get in touch with us and be able to support a group if they can, because quite often people like that, their advice is invaluable for our coaches in helping to make sure that the riding experience is as therapeutically beneficial as possible. Mm. And they might understand what somebody's needs outside of their RDA session are, and could suggest, you know, fun exercises or games that would really appeal to that person or would help them, or helping us perhaps communicate back to a school or to parents about the work that's being done at RDA and how they can support that at home. So it's really, you know, any of those kinds of expertise are really helpful to us, you know, in our commitment to ensuring the best possible experience for our riders.
And then there's me, that's really horsey, and I'd love to spend like a, you know, I haven't got loads of time, but I'd love to be able to spend maybe one afternoon or one day a month going down to my local yard and helping. Can I do that too?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great way for people to use their horses for the benefit of somebody else. It's as simple as that. And if people have got skills and they like working with horses and they feel that they've got any time to give, then, you know, you're never that far away from your local RDA group. And they tend to, some of them are open every day, some of them just run once a week. So you might have a bit of choosing the one that sort of can fit in with your time scale. But essentially, you can be offered a regular slot, or, as you say, once a month, just any time where you can come and give your time. And if you are somebody who is good working with horses, then the kind of jobs that you might be able to support us with would be helping get the horses ready for a session, for example. You might also be leading horses, or you might be doing what we call side walking, which is for riders who just need a bit of extra support either side. So there's plenty of those kinds of jobs that need doing, and we do provide all the training that anybody might need to help carry out their activity safely. So that's also not a barrier. You're not expected to know everything when you come through the door. So it's also a great environment, obviously, for younger people who want to, who perhaps already, you know, enjoy horses and want to use that as some way to do volunteering, with so many young people using volunteering experiences to boost their CV. And young people make fantastic volunteers for us. They're fit and enthusiastic, and they, you know, for example, if you've got a ride which has got young people in it, young riders in it, what better way to support them than to have another young person to walk beside them and talk to?
Absolutely.
People are always sort of, you know, quick to criticise young people today. And in my experience, their commitment to our volunteering is absolutely second to none. You know, they might start off as part of a D of E programme or Young Equestrian Leaders Award or something like that. And they stay. You know, they get a lot out of it, and we get a huge amount out of the support that they can give us. So, sign up to volunteer for the RDA. We'd love to have you.
I'd love it. I think if I had my time again, I'd be doing everything. I'm finding out all these new things at doing the Horse Hour podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I was so much younger and I had more time to be able to do everything.
It is the way, isn't it?
In terms of then, let's talk about the safety element and the insurance element. I take it all the local riding schools are insured and the parents can feel, you know, that their children are really safe.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the reasons why RDA is in such hot demand, really. I think people know that, yes, in terms of the sort of the paperwork, if you like, that's going to be all in place. But also, you know, part of the reason that we get that assurance is because we're working with trained people and they're not just trained to be, for example, coaches of horse riding. They are trained as well to work with people with disabilities of different kinds and use their experience and expertise to make sure that that riding experience is as beneficial and safe as we can make it. Obviously we've got animals involved and you know you've always got that unpredictability, but that's part of the fun about it. That's why it's as beneficial as it is, because you are providing something which has an element of adventure about it which other sports can't deliver. And so yes, we provide an environment which is safe and secure with some extremely well-trained people at the helm, so we're very proud of that.
It's very easy, I think, Caroline, to forget that you're a charity because you're so big. So because there's so many 500 centres and because you're so well known in the UK, I think we forget that you're a charity and you need support and you need help. So let's say maybe we don't have any time but we want to do something for you. Can we donate?
Yes, please. Yes, you can. No, and I think you raise a good point. I think it's easy when you're, you know, when you have such a big reach that we do, that people often assume that we don't need anything. But actually, you know, we rely completely on donations to carry out our work. Mm. And people can donate to the national organisation to help us provide the support services to all of our groups. People can also find their nearest group and donate money to their nearest group if they want to see that money going to somewhere in their local area. We are not fussy, but I would absolutely urge people to support if they can, because without donations and the incredible generosity of the general public, we simply couldn't carry out all of that activity and help the 28,000 people that we do today.
Oh, that's incredible. There's a lot of riders, and these schools need horses as well. It's difficult for them because they have to buy the horses in the first place. They need to make sure that they're safe and that they're bomb-proof, I guess, enough to be able to use in the RDA. So if, you know, there might be a chance where, say, I had a horse that maybe is 19, you know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Instead of rehoming him, I could go to my local school and say, you know, he'd be really good. He'd be, you know, he's not quite ready to be put out to pasture yet.
Yes, we need fit, healthy horses. The misconception is that we need them very much at the end of life. And we actually, RDA horses and ponies need to be fit because they're working in sometimes quite a challenging environment, sometimes quite a stressful environment. And we also ask a lot of them in terms of, you know, perhaps the standard of riding that they're being asked to do. So we by no means need, you know, there's a sort of misconception that we need the kind of the slow plodders with no life in them. We definitely need fit and healthy horses. We also always in need of bigger horses, because as people grow up, they need bigger horses or weight-bearing horses. And also we look after adults as well as children. So there's always a need for equines, as you know. So yes, fit and healthy horses are always gratefully received, and people loan their horses to their local group as well if they don't want to lose them completely. Groups are often grateful to have a horse that they can borrow or have on loan.
Oh, it's so lovely. I think it's amazing work what you do, Caroline, and I really, really want to get involved with it. How can I go to your website if I want to see my local centre? I guess the easiest thing is to go to your main website.
That's right. If you go to www.rda.org.uk, you can find your nearest group there and do a simple postcode search, which will bring up a list of groups by distance away from your postcode. And that's a great way to get started. You can also email us at info@rda.org.uk for any general questions. The website's also a great place if you want to donate or find out more about volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just want to help us spread the word about what we do and engage your network with the wonderful world of RDA, then as you mentioned before, you can find us on Twitter at RDA National, and we're also on Facebook at Riding for the Disabled Association.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best, Caroline.
Thank you very much indeed. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget, you can catch up with all previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website, horsehour.co.uk. If you're tech savvy and you've got an iTunes account, then you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can subscribe to us on Acast too. It's totally free. It just means that every episode that's released automatically comes down to your mobile phone, so you don't even need to think about it. That time that you're mucking out and you're a bit bored and want a bit of company, then just click on me. On your lunch break, if you get a lunch break, then have a look at our website, horsehour.co.uk, because there's a whole bunch of education and advice on there for you about your horses, about riding. There's different disciplines as well. Maybe you're thinking about trying something new, then go and take a look at one of our discipline sections. We love to see your adventures with your horses, so just share them with us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. It's really easy. You just got to use the hashtag horsehour, and I hope you have a really good week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.